3 months to get over COVID. So I just wanted to start with a huge thank you, actually, to all the people who've prayed for me, sent me messages, cards, flowers, even soup and cake. Definitely put on weight. And especially the people that did all my work for me. So Jenny, Martin, Amanda, and the rest of the team have just been amazing. And when I tried coming back to work after about 12 weeks, Jenny's like, don't come back too soon. Are you sure you're ready? And I'm like, too soon? It's been 3 months. So just so grateful to God that I'm in this church family. So our readings today, this morning we also had the reading of Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana. And then the reading tonight from Isaiah is about God rejoicing over us as a bridegroom over his bride. And the highlight of my year last year, I have to say, was my nephew's wedding. And we've got a picture. I asked him if I could share a picture of the wedding today. And this is a photo that Derek took, actually, as they were walking back down the aisle after they'd changed their vows. Now, the reason I picked this photo, there were many more professional photos than this one, but I just love the expression on my nephew Daniel's face as he rejoiced over his bride, a beautiful Nicole. She's a beautiful, kind, generous person. And he had such joy, and she was full of joy as well and radiant. And it was wonderful celebrating with them in what was quite a difficult year. So that was a very special day. And there's something so moving and profound about a wedding, isn't there? And that's because it points to something so much bigger, which is what I want to talk about this evening. The Apostle Paul describes marriage as a profound mystery and then goes on to say that it is Christ and the church. The joining of a couple in marriage is a picture of our relationship with Christ, Jesus the bridegroom marrying his bride. And Andy Croft at Soul Survivor, I heard him give a talk last November on this topic, as that we're loved as the bride of Christ. And you don't often hear people speak on this subject, so I was delighted to hear it, because as a Christian, this is an aspect of my relationship with God that's really nourished me over the years and given me such joy. And it also meant that I could borrow some bits of his talk for today. So two bonuses there. And he began by saying two things. He said, there's two big pictures we are given in the Bible of our relationship with God. The first one is that God is our Father, and we are his sons and daughters, adopted into his family. And the second one, the core picture of marriage, that Jesus is the bridegroom and we are the bride. He is the husband, we are the wife, and he is the lover of our souls. And I think it's fantastic that we've actually started the year here. What did Jenny talk about last week? About us being adopted as God's sons and daughters, chosen, dearly beloved. He's well pleased with us. And then today, he wants to speak to us about his being his beloved, cherished bride. And God just wants to establish in us, at the beginning of this year, our identity, that whatever happened last year, whatever went well, whatever successes and failures that lie behind us, and whatever lies ahead, we are cherished, precious, known, and loved. And we have this beautiful name that God gives to his people Israel in our Isaiah reading, that God speaks over you and me tonight. Hephzibah, my delight is in you. And basically that's my message, and I could sit down now, but I won't because I'm paid too much, so I'll carry on. So, I know the idea of being a bride is a bit of a leap for the men. It's not the easiest thing to get your heads around, but actually because it's this theme that runs throughout Scripture, you can't get away from it. And what could be more wonderful, really, than God comparing himself to this faithful husband who delights in his wife, regardless of her unfaithfulness at times and mistakes and messes and failures. So in the Old Testament, the big picture of God's relationship with Israel, his people, is marriage. He marries them. And their main sin is that they go away and they worship other gods. Well, that's called idolatry when you worship idols and other gods. But actually, he describes that sin as adultery. So Israel, the unfaithful wife, has been adulterous to her husband, God. And then we've got one of my favorite books, Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs, a collection of love poetry, which over centuries has been interpreted by the church as an allegory for the relationship between God and his beloved bride, the church. And you may never have read the book of the prophet Hosea, an Old Testament prophet. Do have a read if you haven't. It's a remarkable story. Again, portraying God as a faithful lover of his people, he tells Hosea to go and marry a prostitute, and they get married and she has a child, but then she's unfaithful again and goes back to her normal, her day job. But he goes back and pursues her and brings her home again. And that's how God pursues us. And then in the New Testament, John the Baptist introduces Jesus as the bridegroom. And John himself, he sees himself as just the usher at Jesus' wedding. And then Jesus describes himself as the bridegroom, and he tells parables about weddings with virgins waiting for the bridegroom to arrive. And then we got onto the Apostle Paul in his letters. He uses this picture a lot of the church being the bride. And I referenced this earlier. He says, "For this reason, a man will leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This mystery is profound, but I'm speaking about Christ and the church." So he moves between the topic of marriage and Christ and the church. And then he goes on to talk about the church being spotless and pure and being made ready for Christ. So two lovers who are one in flesh is a picture for us as the intimacy between us and God. But I just want to say there's nothing sexual or sensual about this relationship. It's about the heart of God, his feelings, that emotion for us of love and that he wants us to know and be secure in. And then the whole of the Bible is building up to the climax of Revelation and the end of the time when God is going to come back and we have this picture of a new heaven and a new earth, and there's going to be this fantastic celebration feast. It's compared to a wedding feast of the Lamb. And it's Jesus when he marries, Jesus the bridegroom marries the bride, which is us. It's going to be quite a party. So let's try to put the strangeness of this idea to one side and let it speak to us about how God feels about us today. So I'd love to turn to our text from Isaiah 62 again, and we're going to have a quick look through it. So the Bibles are in your pews, and I've even looked at the page numbers for you, though it might be a bit dark for you to see them, but if you want to turn to it, it's around page 748 to 750, depending on which versions you've got, Isaiah 62. And I'll just introduce it to you while you're finding it. So this final section of Isaiah is known as 3rd Isaiah. It's thought to have been written to the Jews after they'd returned from their time in exile in Babylon. So they went into exile because they were unfaithful to God. And again, he called them back to himself, but they broke all of his laws. They worshipped other gods, and they ended up being taken into Babylon captive. But out of his mercy and compassion, he allows them to return to Jerusalem, and they can go and rebuild the temple. The people that want to go back and worship Yahweh and go back to their way of worship and life are allowed to return. So it's speaking to them then. But because it's prophetic scripture, it also can speak to us today. And it also points to Jesus coming, and it speaks to the time when Jesus came the first time and when Jesus will come again at the end of time. So prophetic scripture does that. It speaks to different times in history. So we'll look at that as well. So verse 1, it says, "For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch." You know, Israel have been through a terrible period of exile in captivity in Babylon. And finally, they're offered this opportunity to return to their home and to the worship of Yahweh again. And there's this outpouring from God's heart. He is just so glad that they're coming back. He's rescued them. He's brought them back. And he can't keep silent about the amazing work of restoration and rebuilding he's going to do in their midst. But then you get this sentence, "her salvation like a blazing torch." And that's certainly talking about Jesus coming and his work of salvation that he does at the cross. And then verse 2 and 3, "You'll be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You'll be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God." So what is God saying to us today through these verses? He's saying that whatever was in the past, wherever we've been and whatever names we've been called, that is in the past. And as we return to him, he has a new name to give us, which we read more about in verse 4. And we're like this glorious crown in his hand. Now, you might think a crown should be on his head, but the fact that it's in his hand suggests his protection and his care of it. It's under his protection. And this word diadem, I didn't know what it meant, though I used to sing songs with it in, but I never knew what it meant. So the word diadem is actually a royal headdress, so it's like a very elaborate crown. So again, the diadem is held by the Lord up in his hand. So imagine this beautiful crown encrusted with jewels, surrounded by gold, dear and precious and costly, rich and valuable, held in high esteem, in his protection and care, and held aloft for all to see its beauty. That's what he thinks of us. And then verse 4, no longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. When Israel were in exile, they were mocked by other nations for losing their land, and they were told their God had abandoned them. But even though it was they who had abandoned Yahweh, their God. But in God's mercy and compassion, he brings them back home and gives them this new name, Hephzibah. Not the most common name these days. Don't think it's in the top 10 girls' names. But King Hezekiah's wife was called Hephzibah. And it means the Lord delights in you. And Beulah, which means married or fertile. So the picture of a barren land now producing abundant crops again. And so today the Lord is naming us Hephzibah, the Lord delighting in us. Where our lives have been desolate and barren, the Lord wants to bring blessing and fruitfulness. And then the final verse, 5. As a young man marries a young woman, so will your builder marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will your God rejoice over you. And God is rejoicing with delight over you as the delight of a groom on a wedding day for his bride in all her perfection and beauty, which is ultimately what we are all longing for, to be loved completely. And perhaps you've been in a kind of exile. Perhaps some of you watching online, you haven't been back to church since the pandemic. The pandemic's been an exile for you. And what would God, you wonder what God would say to you if you did come back. What would he say? And I think he'd look at you with eyes filled with love and with joy and say, my delight is in you. Now, the problem can be that we think that God could only love us if we make a real effort, if we put on our Sunday best, hide away our mess from the week. A bit like the bride's got her wedding dress on, she's had her hair and makeup done, maybe a bit of spray tan, her nails. The reality is she's not going to look that good come Monday morning. Will the bridegroom still be dazzled by her beauty when she's ill or when they've had a row? Let's face it, when we begin a relationship with another person, we don't know everything about them. And we're very skilled at hiding our worst parts. Andy Croft says that the whole message of this book, this Bible, and I love this, that it's about the God who fell in love with me. It's about the God who fell in love with me. That is a great way to approach this book. The God that knows everything about us, sees all our mess, and still comes running towards us. He's just like the father of the prodigal son who picks up his garments and runs towards his son to embrace him. The father doesn't wait for him to get cleaned up and have a bath before he hugs him. And Jesus too came from his glorious throne in heaven to a dirty manger as a baby and then went to the cross for us. Because he loved us, to show us the father's love. And he says to the thief who's hanging next to him on the cross, the thief who reached out to him and said, Jesus, would you remember me? And Jesus says to him, yes, today you will be with me in paradise. It's so not about us being good enough. That thief wasn't good enough. He wasn't in his Sunday best. Now, I love this beautiful image from Song of Solomon of a gazelle, and it's used to describe Jesus coming or the bridegroom coming to his bride. He's leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills to be with his bride. So I'm going to read you some verses from chapter 2, beginning at verse 8, as I bring this talk to a close. Listen, my beloved approaches. Look, here he comes, leaping across the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Look, he stands behind our wall, gazing through the windows, peering through the lattice. My beloved calls to me, arise, my darling, come away with me, my beautiful one. My dove in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places on the mountainside, show me your face, let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. And my prayer for you is that you will hear the bridegroom saying these words to you this evening, because you are in Christ, so you are no longer desolate. My delight is in you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so your God rejoices over you. He says, arise, my darling, come away with me, my beautiful one. For your voice is sweet, your face is lovely, and my delight is in you. Amen.